I'm just going to say a few things tonight. Revelation chapter 3. I was thinking about the seven churches here. And really, if you look at the two that didn't get rebuked, was Smyrna. I believe that's right. That was a persecuted church. And then Philadelphia was a church of love. So you'd say the stand they had for God, and then the love they had for God and the brethren, God didn't have to say anything against them. And I don't know, people say, preach the Bible as it is. Well, why have we divided the church ages up? I know and understand that we are in the last days. When's the last day start? Well, praise God, we've been in the last days a long time.
That's right.
Amen. Paul talked about the last days.
Amen.
I mean, he recognized that we was in the last days. We've been in the last days for 2,000 years about.
That's right, preacher.
So,
yes.
I understand, know that when you divide the church ages up, then you can say we're in a Laodicean age, but I believe what's happened is it's gotten to the mentality of the people at the house of God that we can't have Philadelphia church, we can't have these other churches that's listed here. And I don't know, I read this and I do know that we are in some of these things as mentioned, but you take the word Laodicea, it simply means the people rule and takes the rule away from God, which he don't never lose rule, but the fact of it is they didn't submit to his rule and they began to rule themselves. And then you go through this here, if you look at the territory of where these churches were, and especially the Laodicean church, they had a lot of resources. This church was rich. If you recognize the fact that they had a lot of external things, it was exterior. They had that. They said, we're rich. And the Lord, thank God, used a man of God to my friend, face them with this. The fact of it is, you got all these beautiful things, but you're lukewarm. That means you're lukewarm toward God. And then he said here, he said he'd spew them out of his mouth. Amen. In other words, what you're doing is not, it's making me sick. Amen. I understand, no, God's not sick, but he's disappointed with it. And he is. The word spew does mean vomit. Amen. And the Lord's dealing with them about this. Amen. And then the Bible said, I want you to look at verse 19 and 20, and I'll say a few things. And he said, as many as I love. Boy, I like that, don't you? Thank God, as many as I love. And you say, preacher, are these saved people? Sure they are. Thank God, he don't chastise lost people. He chastises saved people. And as many as I love, I rebuke. He's in correcting business. He knows how to get us back in line. And men and women need to listen to him. I'm telling you, God does it as he, in a gentle way. God does it in a way he might use a man of God. That's why he said reprove, rebuke. The word rebuke means to admonish you. Thank God to encourage you. Amen. Correct you where God says you need to make a turn. That's why he said, as many as I love. I'm glad and I thank God I'm one of them. Thank God he ain't never let me get out there too far. He's always been around. Thank God no matter where I'm at, no matter what hell I walk. Amen. As many as I love. He set his affection on me and he's going to keep me. And brother, he'll keep you if you want to hear. I'm telling you, thank God if he loves you, he'll be with you. Amen. That's right. Well, generally speaking, somebody asked me, does God love everybody? Generally speaking, I reckon you can say God so loved the world. God said he loved his own to the end. That's what he said. I don't love somebody I don't know.
Oh, listen.
That's right, isn't it? I mean, you don't. You love who you know. Amen. That's right, isn't it? Amen. I love the brethren. If I go to another meeting and meet the brethren, I can say that I love them because they're part of the family of God. But God, listen, God says, as many as I love. There's a particular people here in this Laodicean church that he's dealing with. Now, he said, as many as I love, I rebuke. I admonish them. I correct them. I deal with them. Amen. Thank God. And he said this, and he said, and chasten. I deal with them. I chasten them. I might have to, thank God, even scourge a little bit. But I deal with them because I love them. You get what I'm saying? God loves you. The reason God deals with you and me because He loves us. And that's the relation of the parents. If they love their children, they're going to deal with them. They're going to chasten them. You know why? Because they love them. That's a warning, friend. Thank God. And that's what God's saying in the book here. He's saying, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Thank God, be zealous. Therefore, I repent. Amen. That means do it fast. Zealous. I mean, that's a fervent word. When you say I'm zealous, when a man says zealous, be zealous and repent. That word repent, that simply means you need to change your mind about what you're doing and turn around. Amen. That's right, because you're going the wrong way. And you don't have what it takes to, thank God, they was lukewarm. They wasn't hot or cold. They was lukewarm. It said there were hot springs in that area, and all that water was lukewarm water, which means tepid water. And that water that was just, you couldn't drink it. It'd make you sick to drink it. And God's saying this, you go through the Bible here in the Scriptures, He's talking about Isaiah here, and it's known in that country there that they had medical resources. Hey, they had salve to heal the ears and the eye and the eyes. That's why He said you're blind. Amen. They needed some spiritual eye salve. The see, thank God. And not only in their eyes, they needed in their ears. Amen. Not everybody hears. Hey, God, it got to be touched to hear. Amen. You might hear my voice, you got to hear His voice. Amen. The Lord said, my sheep hear my voice. And I know them and they follow me. So God, amen, has a set up way in this thing to deal with us. Amen. And then verse 20, he gets down to this text here. And he said, behold, that means take a look at. He said, I stand. That's his position. At the door. What door? The door of your heart. Amen. The church is not a building. The church is a people. And he deals with the people. He's not talking to a building. Even though we look at it like that and relate it in our mind, that picture of Jesus knocking on that door, amen, it's always, thank God, the knob on the inside, it's not on the outside. But he said, I stand at the door and knock. I'm a knocking on your heart. I'm a dealing with you through the preaching. I'm a dealing with you through my works and my spirit. I'm a dealing with you about your sin. I'm a dealing with you about your coldness. I'm a dealing with you about how you've lukewarmed yourself and all you got's an exterior. And you're playing religion and you're going down to the place you say you worship. And I'm not even in the house. Hey, God, friend, I'm telling you, it's a terrible thing. But it's a dangerous thing. Let a meeting him not be around. Amen. You say, wait a minute, I brought him in. Where's his manifestation? He can live in your house, but is he manifesting himself? That's the whole thing. Behold, I stand door knock. I'm knocking on your heart. I know this text here can be, it's been used many a time for sinners, but it's not, this in the context, it's not to sinners. He said, I stand door knock. He said this, he said, if any man hear my voice. Now, I won't say this, you've got to be in a place to hear His voice.
That's right.
He's talking to these people here in Laodicea and open the door. That means the knob's on the inside of the door. You got to open the door. It'd be like this, it'd open your heart to it. How many times have you put walls up when God dealt with you? When you God says do this and do that, and God's trying to, and God don't really try, I don't like to use that word on God, but God's a work in your way. And you resist it. You resist it because it will take you out of the control of your life and put Him on the throne of your heart where He is. Amen. And you recognize the fact of who He is in your life. Amen. But I'm just telling you, what you're saying, preacher, I'm just talking about giving all to Him. I'm talking about giving all to Him. Amen. Get out of the way. Listen to His voice. Open the door and let Him come in into your life and rule your life. It deals with lordship. It deals with rule. It deals with His authority. And that's exactly the reason a lot of people don't want Him in their life. Thank God, because they want to rule it. And they want it their way. And conditioned to shut down the church. My friend, committees and all these things, we get in the church and we play politics at the house of God and we wonder why the power's not there. It's because we forgot Him. We don't open the door to Him. We got everything crossed and dotted. We got every doctrine right. Amen. We got everybody dressing right. But the church is lukewarm. Amen. And that's what it says. Sinner lukewarm. Notice this here. I like this. He said, if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will.
Amen.
Notice this. Come into Him. Now, I'm going to tell you this. That's individuals. That's individual people that can make a difference just letting Him in. That's right. Now, I don't have any heels here tonight, but if 10 people just really got a lot of Him, it wouldn't be contained in the house of God. That's right. If you just got a lot, just let Him come in. Just let Him come in. Just let Jesus come in. I mean, it looks like to me here that He is telling them to exercise their will toward His voice.
Listen.
You got to exercise your will upon obedience to His voice. Amen. Your life would change tonight if you'd let Him in. It'd change. Your home would change tonight if you'd let Him in. He said, I will come into Him. That's what He said. I will come into Him and will sup with Him. He didn't say save Him. He said, sup with Him. Now, I'm going to tell you what that means to me. He says, I will come in and me and you will have a communion. Me and you will have true fellowship.
That's right.
Me and you will have, thank God, amen, a time. Amen. That's what He said. Sup means an evening meal. There was three meals. Usually they had toast in the morning time and they dipped it in something and they ate it. Usually at lunch, they carried their lunch. They ate beside the road. They ate in the marketplace. But when it come to supper time, thank God, that's when you have that evening meal, that dining meal. Amen. Sup with Him. And He said, I want more than a snack with you. I want more than breakfast with you. I want more than that little lunch. He said, I want to come in. I want to sit with you. I want to talk with you. Hey, God, I want to fellowship with you. Hey, God, some of you ain't fellowshipping with Him. And you wonder why the Holy Ghost ain't moving in your life. It ain't my fault. Hey, God, it ain't nobody's fault but your own. That's because you won't open the door to Him. Amen. You know why? I tell you something different what you're doing. And He said, He'll sup with Him and He with me. That's what He said. Them that I love. Boy, it just got a hold of me. I'm just reading that. It said, and them that I love, I will rebuke. As many as I love. As many as I love. Amen. He loves you tonight. If you're born again, child of God. Amen. As many I rebuke. And I'll chase Him. Amen. That's right, brother. You know you can have personal revival tonight if you'd open the door.
Yes,
well, won't you open the door? What you holding back and open the door? Well, if I open the door and He comes in, He'll tell me to do something different. You got that right. Then ain't your way, it's His way.
Amen.
Amen. That's right, isn't it?
Yeah.
Amen. Well, if I open the door to Him, He might tell me something I do I don't want to do. Well, He'll just stand outside and keep knocking. It's complete submission to who He is.
Wow.
That's right. It's complete submission to who He is. That's what it is. Amen. Let's stand tonight. I appreciate you hearing the Word of God.